broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for October the 11th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is hour one of two. And our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers. What are the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips? And as you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. Wow, hope you guys had a fantastic day, weekend, couple of days, Sabbath, all of the above. I sure hope you promoted God, family, and country, and the protection of life, liberty, and property. A little bit of assignment for all of you. What day is today? Do you even know? What day is today? Is it a special day? Is it just a Monday? You know the old song, they used to say a manic Monday? What day is it for you? Because it's supposed to be like a special day. Anyway, I'd like anybody out there in the audience or Cameron or anybody, try and tell me what day it is and see if you know kind of what's... Well, that's Christopher Columbus Day, he says. That's only if you're like an old school American, my friend. That's only if you're like super old school, conservative, Christian. I mean, if you're one of those people, then absolutely Christopher Columbus Day. But what day is it now that they're trying to circumvent Christopher Columbus Day, and what day are they trying to make it? We'll get into that as the broadcast unfolds a little bit, ladies and gentlemen. But I'm just telling you right now, what a wonderful Christopher Columbus Day. So now you're having an extended weekend. You had the Sabbath day, now Christopher Columbus Day. You're talking about God, family, country. You're talking about the protection of life, liberty, and property. You're talking about looking to God for things, all the things that we hold dear. No doubt it's that. But they want to circumvent this day. They want to jettison real history. They want to create their own alternative version of history or one-sided view of history, whatever you want to call it. Anyway, we'll get into that as the broadcast unfolds, ladies and gentlemen. Saturday's show, we were live on Saturday, of course. You know we're live 6 days a week on your radio, 2 hours a day, hard-hitting talk at your fingertips, available globally on the internet, lovingliberty.net, libertyroundtable.com, AM/FM affiliates across the country, and a whole lot more. But we talked about a Florida mom. Her name is Quisha King, and she called for a mass exodus of the public schools. She said that's the only thing left to do to fight indoctrination in public schools. She said that during a family research council event. She said the effort has to be pushed by parents to really send the effort. We just have to peace out, she says. We've got to just simply jettison the schools. Well, I appreciate her sentiments. I agree with them. I've been telling you that for 25 plus years. After all, the government schools, the compulsory education system in America, is one of the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto. Go look it up. It's number 10. Compulsory education. That's how you indoctrinate folks into socialism and communism. And parents are shocked now when these government compulsory education systems are teaching the communism they were designed to teach. What shocks me is that they're shocked. What shocks me is that it's taken so long for these parents to wake up. But I'm glad they're waking up, better late than never. I'll tell you that right now. Even Candace Owens saying, get your kids out of the government schools. Man, more and more people are realizing the reality and the truth. And because of COVID, one of the silver linings of the COVID lies really is that Americans are realizing they can homeschool their children. It's not an impossibility like they once thought. In fact, it's doable. In fact, when times get tough, the government can't educate your kids. They melt down and then turn against you. All right. Anyway, we had our guest on first hour on Saturday, Tina Horlocker, doing a great job. She's the chair of the WeCanAct.net Liberty Conference that's going on October 22nd, 23rd, right here in Utah at the Salt Palace. Get your tickets today, WeCanAct.net. Anyway, we talked about the Liberty Conference 2021. We talked about the speakers that are going to be attending, the vendors. We'll be there live. A whole lot more going on. Anyway, great interview with Tina Horlocker, doing a good job. That was hour one of Liberty Roundtable Live on Saturday. Still available at your fingertips. LovingLiberty.net, or get your phone apps, the iPhone or the Android app, and then you've got live and on-demand radio at your fingertips. Free, by the way. Second hour, we had a great guest on, Nathan Osmond, actor, country singer. He's going to have a speech at the WeCanAct.net conference called Independent Forever. Yeah. You want to learn more about Nathan, NathanOsmond.com. Nathan Osmond Music. He's a country singer. He has all kinds of songs. 21 Guns, The Tailgate Song, Stars and Stripes, All In, and a whole lot more. He does a podcast called Achieving Awesomeness. Excuse me, Achieving Awesomeness. It's Nathan Osmond's new podcast, and he talks about all kinds of things, not just politics, by the way, folks. Achieving Awesomeness, it's everywhere. It's going to be up on LovingLiberty.net soon as well. Do you have the courage to stand in a godless society? Well, I'm telling you right now, the Osmond family has had that courage for decades. Nathan continues the tradition in fine fashion. Patriotic, God-fearing, family man. I mean, you got to dig it. Have you seen the movie Even in Dreams? If you haven't, it's a must-see Even in Dreams. And that movie, basically, but Nathan Osmond plays himself. And we talked a little bit about what kind of a deal that is to play yourself in a movie. You know, can people question how good of an actor you are? Anyway, kind of interesting. But Nathan Osmond, what a pleasure to interview. What a great guy who has no hesitation about his patriotism. And you know what? That's what we need a whole lot more of. No hesitation about our patriotism. That's certainly what we need in America. I'll tell you that right now. We need Americans to say, look, this isn't about right and left. This isn't about Republican and Democrat. This isn't about whether you're woke or not, or whether you're vaccinated or not, or masked or not, or male or female or whatever. Okay, we should all be patriotic. We should all be grateful for the freedoms that we have, that we can have dissenting of opinions, that we can have a differing of viewpoints, that we can enjoy the, you know, they always talk about diversity, but what about diversity of thought and belief? Can we support that? Can we celebrate that in a way that's meaningful? I think we can, ladies and gentlemen. I think we need more of it, right? I think there's a lot we can do if we would just do it, is the question, right? Takes work to be humble. Takes work to realize that, you know what, your views may not be my views. But you know what? We don't need to prove we're right. What we need to do is be kind and considerate. I agree we can advocate for our own viewpoints. That's what I do on the radio. That's no problem. But how do we behave about it is the real question, right? So I'll give you an example. A lot of Americans believe today is Columbus Day. I'm one of them. But Joe Biden and others are not interested in Columbus Day. They think Columbus was a racist and a bigot. And I mean, the problem is he believed in God and all that kind of stuff. And he abused everybody. And man, Christopher Columbus was horrible in their view. In my view, Christopher Columbus was an inspired man, a follower of God Almighty, and a hero. But Biden formally recognizes Indigenous Peoples Day. So that's what it is. It's Indigenous Peoples Day if you are of a different mindset today. They say President Biden has proclaimed Monday, that's today, October the 11th, as Indigenous Peoples Day. Becoming the first U.S. president to formally recognize the day. For generations, federal policies sought to assimilate and displace Native peoples and eradicate Native cultures. Mr. Biden wrote in his proclamation, I guess he issued his proclamation on Friday so everybody could read it in advance. Today, we recognize Indigenous people's resilience and strength. as well as the immeasurable positive impact that they have made on every aspect of American society. Over the past several years, they say states, including Alaska, and let's see, and New Mexico, have adopted the holiday, choosing to forego Columbus Day celebrations and heeding calls from selected indigenous groups not to celebrate Christopher Columbus. They say the Italian navigator the holiday was named for. Okay? They say he brought genocide and colonization to communities that have been in the United States for thousands of years. Many around the country still celebrate Columbus Day, or Italian Day, as some call it. Anyway, South Dakota is the first state to recognize it as, quote, Native Americans Day. And they say post offices will be closed in observation of Columbus Day, as well as Wilma Banks. Yeah, most government offices and libraries will be closed as well. Stores like Walmart, Target, and others will be open. Some say mere observance of the day doesn't do enough. And no American president has explicitly apologized for the abuse on that day. Let's talk about it a little bit more. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. I'm celebrating Columbus Day. I don't know about you, but I am. Columbus Day, ladies and gentlemen, October 11th, that is today. And I'm celebrating the national holiday. I'm celebrating the contribution that Christopher Columbus made to this great country. I get that you can find negatives in almost everybody's wake in society, especially those founders, those colonists, those explorers, those whatever you want to call them. But I'm telling you, we cannot blame all the negative that happened on them. Do I think that Christopher Columbus was a good guy? Absolutely. Do I think he was a follower of God? Without question. Do I believe he was on a mission from God to discover the new land And to come to America, yes. Now, that does not mean that I'm willing to celebrate the negatives that we did to the Indians or the negatives that we did to the blacks or the negatives we did to the Mormons. Or, you know, we've got a lot of errors in our history that we can point to, just like most people's lives. If you look at somebody's life and you point out all the negative aspects of what they've done or not done, you can make everybody look to be the boogeyman, look to be pretty bad. But when you, on the whole, look at the mistakes we made, the changes that we've made to repent from those mistakes, then you start to see a different picture. So believe it or not, I'm celebrating Columbus Day, and I'm also willing to celebrate Indigenous Peoples Day. I know a lot of patriots will kind of go against me on this and go, no, they're just trying to use this as a communist agenda. You know what? But let's acknowledge the good. Why don't we just, hey, have a different day that we can celebrate this Indigenous People Day or the Native Americans or whatever other. Why don't we have a day to celebrate the Mormons, the members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints back in the day, and their dedication to America despite the abuses they took. See, we don't really have to jettison one day to embrace another, jettison one viewpoint to embrace another. Can't we just celebrate the rich history that we all have? Can't we bring out the good that Native Americans have done without trashing Columbus or vice versa? Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live once again. What do you say, sir?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me, Sam. It's always a pleasure to be on the radio with you. Columbus Day, you know, a lot of people like to talk bad about Columbus, but I, like you, believe he was inspired by God for his voyage across the Atlantic to so-called discover, you know, the American East Indies, which wasn't really the Indies after all, but he was led here, I believe, and I think that the Europeans who followed him in the 1500s and 1600s and so forth, to the extent that they were disrespectful of private property, I think they had bad relations with the native Indian tribes here. But I think the Indians respected.
And by the way, let's be clear, and we are sorry about that, though. We're not happy about that.
No, exactly. And I think it was unfortunate for the Europeans who came to this country, to this land, failed to give proper respect to the property of the Native American Indians. I think there were a number of examples during that early time when the Spaniards would trade with the Indians, and they would have a booming trade relations. And instead of wars, and then there were other Europeans who came and just thought that they were there to conquest, you know, for conquest, and they would simply take without trading, and those resulted in explosive situations with people dying on both sides. And so there was ample evidence that trade and capitalistic laissez-faire free market in trade negotiations and trade relations was the better way to go. And it's unfortunate that so many Europeans did not go that way, which made life very miserable for indigenous peoples here in this land and for many of the settlers who were killed because of the poor relationships. So they're examples of both good and bad, and we just need to learn from that and realize and recognize that all people, no matter their height, their color, their culture, their race, whatever, ought to be respected as children of a loving Heavenly Father. And we shouldn't take what is not ours. We should, we can trade, we can bargain, we can negotiate, but it's just not right to take what isn't ours. Sam?
Well, I really wanted to focus on that because what bothers me is the big divide right now that we have. Those who celebrate Columbus Day, they think celebrating anything else is horrible. And those who celebrate, quote, Indigenous Peoples Day act like Columbus was evil. And why can't we just admit that people made genuine mistakes? Why can't we take the good from Columbus Day and celebrate it? Why do we have to have Indigenous People Day compete with Columbus Day? Why can't we have an Indigenous Peoples kind of day or whatever else, or a day to kind of celebrate the right and the good and the that others have brought to the country? Why do we have to make it a competition? Why do we have to make it a, shut one down in the name of the other, or et cetera? Why do we do that with President's Day and George Washington's birthday? And there's plenty of days to celebrate the good of America and those who brought good all the way through our history. without downing or destroying or attacking the other lull. That's the part I'm not getting.
Uh-huh. Well, people want to rewrite our history so that we will forget our history, so that we will not recognize how dependent upon providence we are in this country. That's the end game, I believe. If they can raise Americans today who fail to recognize the hand of divine providence in the raising up and founding of this country, then they can successfully undo this country and remake it in more socialist image, more of a Marxist image. And they, by most accounts, have been able to do that. They've been very successful in rewriting that history. And so it's up to us, it's up to people, you know, to truth tellers, to historians who actually know what happened, to be the truth tellers in the current day and help people understand what the real history is and how much we must rely upon divine providence if we expect to continue to receive blessings of freedom and peace and prosperity for ourselves and our children, Sam.
Well, all I'm telling you is this. I don't need to obliterate one portion of history and or significant portions of history to embrace another. So you know what? If you want to teach me about Indigenous Day or Indigenous Peoples Day, by all means, let me learn about it. Let me learn about the contributions others made to this great land. But let's not do it by tearing down another, okay? Let's not celebrate Protestants Day by destroying the Baptists, or Mormon Day by destroying the Catholics, or whatever you want to call it. Let's celebrate all the contributions that everyone's made. Let's acknowledge the mistakes that we've made and be familiar with them so we don't repeat the negatives. But let's get past the negatives. Let's join as Americans hand in hand and stand for the principles that made America great. And I know you're right. That's what they want to obliterate. They want to obliterate our tie to God, to family, to country. And that's why they're so hostile. But I'm just telling you that as for me, I'm going to celebrate Columbus Day today. Why? Because Columbus Day celebrates the landing of Christopher Columbus in the Americas on October 12th, 1492. I'm going to celebrate that wonderful thing. Negatives that occurred after that, I'm going to acknowledge and be aware of them. I'm going to do my very best to never repeat them, acknowledging that we're all God's children and we need to behave like it. And we need to respect life, liberty, and property. But if somebody wants to, they say Biden formally recognizes Indigenous Peoples Day. Now, I will formally accept that day as well, but not an obliteration of Columbus Day. Why can't we bring forth on a different day without having a meltdown and a fight about this Indigenous people? Tell me about them. Let me learn about their cultures, their foods, their heritage, their lives, their contributions. That's all good. But they want to make this about fighting over a day, dividing us over a day. And that's what I'm rejecting. Anyway, enough of that. Any final comments, Lowell?
You hit it spot on, Sam. That's exactly the approach that we need to take. In fact, the thought is let's learn the very best from all peoples, all cultures, and regardless of who they are, what they are, where they came from. Let's learn from them, take the very best, and emulate their good example. Because I believe all people, all cultures of the world have things to admire, character traits or habits or practices that are well and good. And there's much we can learn from one another, no matter who they are, Sam.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. That's our delivery on Columbus Day, which we are celebrating, ladies and gentlemen. Now, really, this is all about education, though, of how what you focus on. You know, are you going to just promote critical race theory and say that we're all racist, that everything should be viewed through a racial lens? See, I don't agree with that either. Okay, but what will the education for your children be? And you know what? That's in the crosshairs right now. Parents, in my opinion, that's who God gave authority over children. Parents should control education. Oh, in fact, Ron Paul wrote a column to that very topic. We'll talk about it in a second. Sorry for the interruption and the break. Right when we come back, we'll give you the opening statement again and let you fly with this one. Important, especially when we talk about something as simple as celebrating a day. But it goes way beyond that, ladies and gentlemen. Who should be in charge? The government thinks they should. I don't. Liberty Roundtable Live in seconds with Lowell Nelson on your radio.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The Justice Department reported over the weekend a Navy nuclear engineer and his Virginia schoolteacher wife have been charged with trying to sell American nuclear-powered submarine secrets to a foreign government, but it turned out to be an undercover FBI agent. Jonathan Tebbe and his wife Diana are scheduled to appear in federal court Tuesday morning in Martinsburg, West Virginia. The United States is the single largest humanitarian donor in Afghanistan, provided nearly $330 million this year alone. It was announced over the weekend the United States will send more money in the form of humanitarian aid to Afghanistan's Taliban leaders. Donations account for more than 90% of the Afghan national budget. The Southern California coastal areas near Huntington Beach, California will reopen Monday as cleanup efforts continue from the oil spill October 2nd. Over 1,400 cleanup workers have restored the beaches. USA Radio News.
If you're tired of big cable bills and want to cut the cord, you can still get Newsmax TV for free. Millions of Americans like you are watching Newsmax. It's available on all major cable systems or get it free on major streaming platforms. Watch Newsmax on smart TVs like Samsung, LG, Vizio, and more. Find Newsmax on your hub guide or use the TV app. Newsmax also streams free on Roku, Zumo, Pluto, Amazon Fire, TiVo, Apple TV, Chromecast, and more. More than 7 million people have downloaded the free Newsmax app on their smartphones. There's no paywall or subscription, so watch Newsmax anytime, anywhere. Forbes calls Newsmax a news powerhouse. And watch great shows with Mike Huckabee, Greg Kelly, Rob Schmidt, Diamond and Silk, Stinchfield, and a lot more. Find out why America is tuning in to Newsmax TV, the fastest growing cable news channel. It's a source you can trust. Newsmax is real news for real people.
The United States is pushing a universal corporate tax level with many countries. In theory, the higher tax would keep corporations from jumping countries because the tax would be the same. Jeremy Scott from the Oregon USA Radio News Bureau reports.
Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen says she believes Congress will likely approve a bill to implement the global corporate minimum tax that was agreed to by more than 130 countries last week.
I am confident that what we need to do to come into compliance with the minimum tax will be included in a reconciliation package.
Yellen appearing on ABC's This Week.
I hope that that it will be passed and we will be able to reassure the world that the United States will do its part.
The countries on Friday agreed to set a minimum global tax rate of 15% for big corporations and made it harder for such businesses to avoid taxation. The plan was endorsed by President Joe Biden, who praised the move in a statement released by the White House.
Thank you, Jeremy. USA Radio News.
All right, back with you live, Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, RonPaulInstitute.org with me, riding shotgun on the show. We're talking about parents should control education, says Ron Paul. Amen to that. The battle's on, Lowell.
Thank you, Sam. During last week's gubernatorial debate in Virginia, one of the candidates, Democratic candidate Terry McAuliffe, promised that as governor, he would prevent parents from removing sexually explicit books from school libraries because he does not think, quote, parents should be telling schools what they should teach, end quote. So,
can I just stop you there and say, has this guy lost his mind?
Well, he's like so many other progressives in this country. For decades, Sam, they believe that parents role is really just pay taxes, support the government schools, and not question any aspect of the curriculum, right? I mean, these administrators, they think they're in charge of the education of these children. Very, very interesting mindset that they have, and so that's why I so much appreciate your mindset, which is that parents should control education, which is what Ron Paul is saying here in his column. In fact, the title of his column is exactly that. Parents should control education. Now, here are two paragraphs in the very middle of the column that I think deserve some emphasis. Quote, this is Ron Paul speaking now. He says, quote, replacing parental control with government control of education and other aspects of child raising has been a goal of authoritarians since Plato. After all, it is much easier to ensure obedience if someone has been raised to think of the government as the source of all wisdom and truth, as well as the provider of all of life's necessities. In contrast to an authoritarian society, a free society recognizes that parents have both the responsibility and the right to provide their children with a quality education that reflects the parents' values. Teachers who use their positions to indoctrinate children in beliefs that contradict the views of the parents are the ones overstepping their bounds. End of quote. So, do we see how the government has pushed God aside in this picture? Think of the last line of that first paragraph I quoted again. If someone has been raised to think of the government as the source of all wisdom and truth, as well as the provider of all of life's necessities. See, God is the source of all wisdom and truth, as well as the provider of all of life's necessities, not government, right? And so parents, and so this is just totally opposite of, and so it's easy to see. I mean, it's opposite of what is, in my opinion, the absolute truth, that God is the source of wisdom and truth, and he is the provider of life and necessities. But this authoritarian view that government is that source and is that provider, that is perverse, in my opinion. That is upside down. That is backwards. And yet that is what is being assumed at, by the, you know, in the mindset of the authoritarian thinkers and administrators and school personnel, maybe not most of the teachers, because I still think they're wonderful people involved in the public school system are doing their very best, but collectively speaking, I think it's a failed system because of these underlying premises on which it is based. The parents are the ones who must take responsibility for the education of their children. And they must be the ones who therefore dictate the curricula that is used by whatever schools their children attend. So that's the bottom line, Sam. You know, parents must demand accountability of the schools. They are not the ones who are out of line. It's the school administrators and teachers who indoctrinate the children in views that contradict parents' views that are the ones who are out of line. Now, the good news is that there are many families who have left the public schools, especially last year because of COVID, because of the masking policies and so forth. And I view that as a good thing. Parents are demanding accountability. They're taking a larger role in the education of their children. Of course, I think they need to be even louder. I want a majority of parents to pull their children out of public schools, start homeschooling them and prizing the time that they have with their children. And there are many wonderful homeschooling options. The Ron Paul homeschool curriculum, for example. The John Birch Society has a course called the Freedom Project Academy. And there are homeschool associations in your community, in your county, in your state. Just wonderful options. These curricula, they focus on reading, writing, mathematics, history, science, logic, speaking, and so forth. Some also do foreign languages, financial independence, and so forth. So, I don't know, Sam, you know, students in homeschools, they typically take just 2 or 3 hours to learn what they would spend a whole day in a public school to learn. And I think about that, just 2 or 3 hours, 2.5 hours, I think, is the average. Think of the marvelous, wonderful things that your children could be doing with the other 5 or 6 extra hours each day. You know, whether it's playing with their neighbor friends or whether it's learning additional stuff, reading, you know, opening up their minds and learning so much more. But the bottom line is there are many, many great opportunities for learning, more so than ever before, for adults as well as for children. All of us should be lifelong learners. Homeschools are for us parents and grandparents, too, not just for our children and grandchildren. So I love your theme, Sam. I love what you did with your family. You homeschooled your children, and I look at how talented and how experienced your children are as they go out into the world and make their way on their own. It's just phenomenal. And so my hat's off to you and all of the other homeschool parents who have taken that step and taken responsibility for the education of their children. And I applaud you for what you have done there. And I want this to serve as encouragement to other parents who are thinking about homeschooling options. Take the leap, jump into homeschool, look at these curricula that are out there that are wonderful and then do it. I think it'd be a great blessing to your family and to your children. Sam?
And I've been at it for 25 years telling this tale, and I appreciate the kind words, Lowell, but you know what? This is about the principal, not about me, and I want people to understand, just because I've been at it for a long time, so have a lot of other families, and good on mm-hmm. them for doing it. But homeschooling is growing. Even Candace Owens now says parents should remove their children from the public schools because they are brainwashing children with Marxist principles. Pull your children out. Remove your children from these indoctrination camps, she said on Fox News over the weekend. And so Ron Paul, correct. I'm correct. Candace Owens is correct. More and more people are getting the word. In fact, even at a Family Research Council event, one lady stood up and she was on a panel or whatever, and she basically said, hey, the only choice we have left is to peace out, to get it out of the government schools. Because here's why, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. Here's why. When they attack us as parents for doing our duty to raise our children in righteousness, that's when we've got to take off the gloves and say, uh-uh. Headline, Biden administration, investigate protesting parents for domestic terrorism. Are you kidding me right now, Lol? I never thought we'd see this day.
Yeah, it sounds crazy, Sam, but that's exactly what President Biden asked the Justice Department to do. He wants the Justice Department to direct the FBI to investigate parents who, you know, the parents who are attending school board meetings to protest mandatory mask mandates and the teaching of the critical race theory. And he wants the FBI to investigate them for possible domestic terrorism. That's amazing. And you know, parents are organizing themselves. They recognize something's wrong with what's being taught in school. As you may remember that during COVID, there were a lot of schools who shut their doors to in-person learning and began, Zoom classes where students would attend the class over Zoom and the teacher would teach over Zoom, you know, and basically electronic teaching, so that the student would be at home on a computer listening to the teacher and interacting with the teacher over a product like Zoom. And it turns out that parents, helping their children set this technology up, they would be listening in to what was being taught. And what they heard was truly astounding to them, surprising. They had no idea what was, that some of these, critical race theory and so forth were being taught so openly to their students. And realizing this, they began to take matters into their own hands and make a school accountable for what they were teaching. It was amazing, Sam.
Incredible stuff. What should we do is the question on the other side. Lowell lays it out. Hang tight on your radio.
Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
Back with you live, Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org on your radio. We're talking about the Biden administration investigating protesting parents for domestic terrorism. Imagine that. You're sick of what's going on in your government schools. So now the battle's on for your children. I knew it would come to this, ladies and gentlemen. The Communist Manifesto has the 10th plank, which is compulsory education for all. Sadly, we've had that in America for nigh on to 100 years and more. And it's coming home to roost, ladies and gentlemen. Now Joe Biden thinks he's got such control of your kids to where if you object to your kids learning about critical race theory, that everybody's a racist, about perverted sexual whatever, and I don't even want to go into it, then you know what? You're a terrorist if you don't like that. Now, things have turned violent at some schools and some meetings, sadly, and I regret that. But at the same time, I go, hey, these government school people are just shutting parents down at every turn. You protest, they shut you down. You want to go to a meeting and they say you can't even go. There's too many people here. The fire code won't let you attend. Shutting parents out. A parent puts its foot in the door and says, no, I really need to be able to attend this. My kid is relevant here. And then they literally arrest you for putting your foot in the door or whatever the case may be. It's out of control. But, Lowell, what should we do?
Take your children out of public school. That's the bottom line. You know, starve the beast. They get, you know, public schools get money for every student that sits in a classroom seat. And when those children don't show up for school, they don't get the money. And so if you want to do, I mean, that's one tactic. Just starve the beast. Take your children out of public school. I recommend that not only because that will starve the beast, but because it'll be better for your children. They'll get a much better education through a homeschool curriculum or a private school option. A private school that whose teachers you know and love and trust than they ever will from a public school. So that's my bottom line, Sam. I think that's really what parents ought to that's what they ought to do, or at least seriously consider doing. I know that for our oldest, I think our middle daughter, we actually hired two teachers. There's a group of us, a cooperative. It was a cooperative of about eight families. We just hired two teachers and from the eight families who taught our middle daughter, during the middle school years and high school years. And it's a great way to go because these teachers are truly dedicated to people you hire, or you can do a round robin. There are some cooperatives where you as a parent will teach one day and then your neighbor will teach the next day and so forth. So there's a lot of options, a lot of things you can do, but, you know, getting your children out of the clutches of the private schools, I think, is the ultimate answer, Sam.
I love the starve the beast phrase, and I think that ought to be the hashtag. Starve the beast. Take your kids out. And that really is what needs to happen, ladies and gentlemen. And what the problem is, most parents believe that when your kid goes to school, say at 8 a.m. and gets done at 3 or whatever it is, they believe that you've got education going on for 7 hours. And most parents are like, I just can't compete with that. I could never get that done. What you need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, is by the time you spend 5 minutes wasting time getting everybody settled down at every class, by the time you pack up your books at the end of class for a minute or two, by the time you change periods over and over and over for 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes between classes, by the time you have a lunch break for the older grades, or by the time you have recess and lunch break for the younger grades, they're lucky to get 3 hours of education in, ladies and gentlemen. And that's what you need to kind of realize, that you can do those things in very little time if you desire. Even if you're a working parent, these are not out of your realm to accomplish. And more Americans are learning this. More and more parents are getting it. But when the Biden administration wants to investigate you for domestic terrorism because you don't like what's being taught in your schools and you want to come out and speak out about it, when you want to peacefully assemble and do something about it, and then when provocateurs and or government officials force the issue, creating very high emotions, and then it goes wrong, and then we just want to blame it all on those terrorist parents. Folks, you've got to just yank your kid out and say, listen, I'm not playing this game with you. I'm not doing this. I'm in charge. You're not. And that's the end of the discussion. Ladies and gentlemen, starve the beast. Take your kids out. When they don't have the money, they can't compete. It's that simple. And you can do it for a whole lot cheaper than they ever will be able to even consider it. In fact, Chris Sweeney speaks out and tells us what we ought to be doing. Lol.
Yeah, Chris Sweeney of RT News gives us the story of a mom in Rhode Island. And, you know, some of you who are listening to this program right now might not believe us, you know, when we're talking about this action by Biden and the Justice Department sticking the FBI on parents. But this story about Nicole Solis, who's the mom in Rhode Island, brings this story home. I mean, she was basically smack in the middle of this controversy. In fact, her heroism may have been one of the reasons for Biden's request to the DOJ and the FBI. She's all of 5 feet tall. I listened to her interview last night with her and some other fellow. She's a young lady, I think, 38 years old, if I remember right, 5 feet tall. She asked the principal of her child's kindergarten whether the children would be learning about critical race theory and whether they would be learning about gender theory, right? Okay, so her child's in kindergarten. She wants to put her child there, well, does put their child in the school there, and then asks, okay, what are they going to learn? I mean, that's so common sense. I mean, exactly what a parent would do. Well, if my child goes to this, to you guys here in this school, what are you going to teach them? You know, what are they going to learn? Well, the principal said that they don't call kids boys and girls. They don't use gendered terminology. And so this mom, Nicole, just kept asking questions, and the principal says, well, you got to submit public records requests to get all answers to all these questions. And so she did that, but she submitted so many requests because
she had
so many
questions.
Now, let me stop you,
though. So she did what she was asked to do, and now they don't like that, right?
No, they don't like that because she had so many questions, and the school threatened to sue her for asking so many questions. In fact, they bullied and harassed her in a public meeting. And in the end, they didn't sue her after all, but the NEA did. The National Education Association did sue her. Why? To, quote, prevent the disclosure of public information that would come out of my public records request, as they're claiming teachers are going to be harassed if we know they are teaching critical race theory, end of quote. So the NEA sued to prevent her from disclosing the answers to her questions. That's what's so crazy.
Hold
about
on,
this.
And let's be clear. They sued her regarding the answers to her questions, but they were the ones that told her when she asked those questions to go ahead and submit those requests. So See, this is why I kind of, this terrorism idea. You know what? I go to a meeting, I start asking you questions, you answer a little bit, but then you say, look, you've got to file a request to get this in writing. So I carry out what you've asked me to do, and now I'm the terrorist? Now I'm getting sued? This is what's happening in America, but you know what? I don't mean to be rude, Lowell, but I kind of blame Nicole. Why do you have your kids in the government school in the first place? Look, we've known courts have ruled decades ago that when you let your kid off at the government school, the second they walk through that door, they're not under your jurisdiction or your guardianship anymore. You have, by agreement, turned your guardianship over to them, and they can teach whatever they want to and do whatever they want to, and you have no authority as a parent. That's already been documented in the courts, ladies and gentlemen. So now you're surprised when they do this? Okay, the only way is to get your kids out and say, my kids aren't going to your indoctrination camp. We're not doing that anymore. So I hope Nicole takes her kids out, but I don't know what she'll do.
But see, most parents, they don't know what you know, Sam. They don't think that education, you know, that the school takes responsibility for their children. They assume that they're responsible and that they're being a responsible parent by enrolling their student in a public school system, thinking that the public school system will teach them, you know, reading, writing, and arithmetic, and they'll all come out fine and dandy. They don't realize what you just said, which is so important for our listeners to know, that once you do that, the government takes responsibility for your child, and they think they're the ones in charge. They can teach them whatever they want. They can require them to wear masks. They can require them to, you know, do whatever, you know, because they're the ones in charge, because you gave them control of their children. That's the unfortunate thing. Most parents do not understand that, especially young parents do not understand that. And
there's no question that's anyway. A sad tale to tell, but it's about time you wake up. And if a Joe Biden shot across the bow invoking the Justice Department and the FBI calling you a domestic terrorist, if that doesn't wake you up, I don't know what will.
Yeah. Well, it turns out that Nicole did remove her daughter from a public school and enrolled her in a private Catholic school. And I think that's a wonderful move, a strategic and a wise thing for her to do. So happily, you know, her daughter is blissfully unaware of the battle in which her mom is now actively engaged. So talk about active engagement, Sam. She said this in a recent interview. She said, once you have an experience of your government targeting you in a way that is so insane, you really just can't go back to a life where you're not going to be involved in how your government operates anymore. I never wanted to be in a position where they hold me under their thumb like that again. Now I've been called a domestic terrorist. I don't have anything left to lose. End of quote. And so she's going after him, man. She's a fighter now. She's been, she has enrolled in freedom fighting back there in Rhode Island, Sam. And that's a good thing. I'm proud of her for taking her, you know, moving her child to a private school and for becoming engaged in the fight for liberty, Sam.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. But the part I love is that there are heroes. You know, Candace Owens is standing up. Chris Sweeney bringing up this story of Nicole and reporting on it. You know, we're learning more and more and more as more stand together for the sacred cause of liberty. And, you know, really, these are discussions and celebrations of Christianity, whether it be Columbus Day, the education system for your children, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It all comes down to really they're coming after the Christians, Lowell. They don't care about any other divide. It's just their way eventually to attack Christians and Christianity. That's my opinion. We have good news, though, to end the hour. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals has now overturned the decision by Judge Robert Pittman to temporarily block the Texas Heartbeat Act. So the Texas Heartbeat Act got passed, abortions got stopped in Texas. Then there was the Supreme Court they appealed to. The Supreme Court said we're not going to touch it. So it continued. The Heartbeat Act got fully implemented into law. Then the liberals, the pro-death folks, found the Judge Pittman that would overturn it. So they put it on halt for a second. But now Pittman's halt got overturned. And the heartbeat law in Texas continues, Lowell.
The state of Texas should enforce their new law no matter what the federal courts say, because this is a state issue, domestic issue. The state did not vest in the general government any authority for this matter, for this issue, for abortion, for family law, for domestic issues like this. All of that authority resided with the state. And so just as the states have legalized cannabis for use throughout the country, they should legalize the protection of life, right? If they want to outlaw abortion in Texas, they may do so, regardless of what a federal court says. Whatever opinion is expressed by some federal judge, that is not a matter for the feds to judge on, Sam.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is clear doctrine about the sovereignty of states. We have 50 constitutional republics who have agreed to have the federal government, or the general government's what I would call it, carry out certain duties as they work together as 50 united republics. But the only authority the government has, the general government has, is what is delegated to them by the consent of the governed. That doesn't breach the sovereignty of a state whatsoever. Remember that reality check, would you please? For Lowell Nelson and Sam Bushman, God save the Republic.